You know, this is all very interesting about women as deacons, women as prophets, women in leadership. And I was just thinking about my own situation here at Christian Leaders Institute. I have my daughter working with us. Another daughter is working with Dr. Fettis. She's a paralegal in all the record stuff. And then another daughter is in the finance and Merkel and some of those things. And one of the things that was interesting is in Acts 21, leaving the next day, we reach Caesarea and stay at the house of Philip, the evangelist, one of the seven. So we're talking one of the deacon ministers way back. He had four unmarried daughters who prophesied.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just this reference and nothing else.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, were they deacons? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe. I mean, we don't know, but it's just, it's fascinating how
it really
family
is.
Legacy.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And, you know, he is later associated with the city of Hierapolis in Asia Minor, and this may or may not be the same Philip, but there, the four women deacons were, the four women and prophets were also commemorated, and they had a great church at the top of a hill, and it commemorated both Philip and his daughters. And there were later legendary stories that gave them names, but we don't really know.
Isn't this interesting?
Yeah,
you wish they could come back.
Passing references,
but they all say the same message. Is that your sons and your daughters prophesy?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And the leader. Now, one more thing I was just interested in. Now, in your discussion, you know, you see very specific roles for women deacon ministers, like baptisms and so forth. But really, we're talking about ministry in general.
Sure.
Is that just ministry to only women?
No. I just highlight that one particular role that you see in the apostolic constitutions. It does seem that at that particular time and place, there was this very developed ministry of women to women.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, like, and I know one of the things you had mentioned, we were talking about the early hospital movement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, babies left to die on the Appian Way or on some place.
Well, that's something that I was saying I forgot to say when we were talking about children, is that the most ordinary way of controlling family population was child abandonment. Just leaving children to die, but unless they were picked up by someone else. And that also often happened, is that someone would pick up a baby and raise it, then usually as a slave. And the person would then qualify as a verna, somebody who is raised in the household, even though the child was not born in the household. So so that's something that one of the Roman writers talking about Christians says that they did this unusual thing. They raise all their children, you know, meaning that was not the ordinary way.
And they pick up children.
And they pick up children.
And yeah. I do know that Celsus once said that Christianity is made up of, you know, slaves, of women, and some, you know, men, rebel rousers or something like that. But it's interesting that this was like in 130 AD-ish, mm-hmm. Right around that time. So you really do see, like, if ministers, women, and Christian households are gathering everybody in and mobilizing it, there is probably, potentially demographically, it's a women's movement, the early church.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. Women organized to do what needed to be done, you know. We haven't really talked about widows either. It doesn't fit into this too much. But that's another thing, the way widows got organized sometimes. And they would go around from house to house and do work of charity, and they would also evangelize each other, evangelize other women. So sometimes in places you didn't have deaconesses, but you did have widows who were operating like this.
Wasn't there like a list of widows? Was it like an ordained order? I did read that somewhere.
Well, 1 Timothy 5, there's a discussion about widows. Let widows be enrolled who have these certain qualifications. And
right.
Enrolled in what?
Right.
You know, the readers already know what he's talking about.
Right.
And we don't. But it does seem as if... yes, there are groups of widows in some churches who are dependent on the church for support.
Right.
So it works both ways, that they are supported by the church, and in return they provide certain services to the church. One of them is hospitality, okay, for visiting people, and another is the same kind of ministry to women, but without any kind of an official ordination in that case.
So you get the drift of this class, you know, from Jesus and Joanna and Mary Magdalene, and then the Apostle Paul and Phoebe, and then we read about Philip and his daughters, and then we read about widows, lists of widows, because we find out the mortality rate is extremely high. So, and then you see in the early church, Celsus complaining about this woman's movement that's taken over the empire. I mean, if you really think about it, you know, if we look deeper at the early literature of Christianity, the Bible, the early literature, the Pliny the Younger and two female slaves they call ministers, that is translation of deacon, really there is a large case to be made about how God is launching both genders, male and female, for the work of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
Very interesting. Mm-hmm.